The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Danielle Maxwell.
Hello, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, indeed. Yes. It's 1 week to midterm, and it could not come any faster.
That is so true. Spring break can also not come any faster at this point.
Yes. However, I was reminding my students this morning, there's 1 week of the second half of the semester that is the week before break. Do not come back after break and go, all right, the second half starts now. We've got lots of work to do.
Yes, I just posted my midterm grade bundling table today, and I was like, you should reflect on where you're at, and if you're not happy, come chat with me. And I saw a lot of students immediately log onto Blackboard, and they're looking up at the screen, looking like this, and I'm like, we're doing math now. So exciting. It's only midterms.
Did anybody come to office hours is the question.
Zero.
I had one today. So,
you beat me. I mean, I have 73 students, and you have 70, so... Yeah, we're doing great.
I didn't even know it was a competition, but maybe
it's not
I'll
a competition.
Yeah.
We're both losing at the office hour rate right now.
Yes, we are.
If your midterm grade is at or above where you thought it would be, you're putting in the right amount of work. If it's less, that's an indication that you need to be doing more.
I did let my students choose the format of their midterm exam this week.
Oh. Trial by fire?
No, Democratic vote. Oh. It was
simple majority.
And they chose multiple choice, even though I gave them all the pros and cons of both types and said that would not have any partial credit. They chose multiple choice, and I was like, "That's your death sentence."
Okay,
that's fine.
Someone who sits around and writes multiple choice exams all day long.
I do,
Professor Dave Chow.
I do not. pleasure to be here, as always.
You can write some of them.
Oh, no, I can, but your students won't know what the heck I'm talking
about. He does draw some really good graphics for exams.
He does.
I can also do pizza equations by the thousands if you want.
Can you give us a hint about this big College of Worcester talk that you're going
to
give?
It's just about what I do for a living, where my wacky career has wandered off to.
That's cool.
So, actually, there's a mention about Ask the Professor on there, too.
Excellent. Today, through the forest of microphones, the director of our writing center is Professor Aaron Bell.
Hello.
What's going on?
Getting ready for spring break as well. I am going to Mexico with our group from the university. Super excited about that.
Where exactly?
So we're going to Mexico City, which is supposed to be great. I know we're going to go to some of the pyramids. I'm really excited about seeing Frida Kahlo's house.
Oh, sure.
I know that's one of the stops. And then we are also, I believe, traveling to Monterrey as well. Probably definitely different than the spring break, in the 90s and the Cancun and whatnot.
Come right, strange tattoos.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that. When I was in college, we went to spring break to Chicago. It was so wholesome. we went to all the museums. It was my whole little group of AP nerds. And I'm surprised my parents even let me do that when I think back about it.
you told them you went to Chicago.
It just was a long field trip, I'm sure.
It was. But it was, mixed company.
Oh, my
scandalous
word.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazy.
And reckless.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the first organization.
Hello, Matt.
Dan Maggio, spring break rules. Discuss.
Once my college roommate convinced me to go with him, and we drove to Florida.
Ooh. Where?
I don't remember.
So it was good.
No, we went to Panama City.
Okay.
Somewhere in the panhandle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't drink so much, so it's not like you think.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh. This came up the other day, Dan. We've talked about it before, and I apologize for not remembering it off the top of my head. You and Katie Snyder, were you in the same graduating class? Was she ahead of you? You ahead of her?
She was a year or two behind me.
Behind you.
But maybe a year. We were good friends.
Sure.
We all had the same circle of friends.
Got it.
And then we were friends after college, too.
I was thinking, it's there's a possibility that Dan's going to say, went to Florida with Katie Snyder.
You can say to her one day that we all had the Twin Peaks watch party.
Oh,
so every
yes.
time there was a new Twin Peaks episode,
yes,
for all of you people who were born after 19,
whatever.
We would all get together every week. We would watch the next episode of Twin Peaks.
That's cool.
So. I've been to Snoqualmie Falls that you see right at the in the opening sequence.
One of the best series ever made. Yeah. I think.
We always look up at the
map. Did you ever see it?
Nope.
We always joke with Danielle because she always say, I don't know what that is.
She doesn't. She barely knew who James Bond was.
If it's before
week.
2000.
Well, our guests may know. I mean, we're close to the same age, but.
We are being blessed with a guest panelist today, and who knows, everybody started as a guest panelist on this panel, just to let you know. It's Professor Rob Dalkow, Professor of Physics.
Hello, everyone.
We're very glad to have you here, man.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Glad to have another physicist.
I know, seriously.
Not named Prasad. Oh.
Now, if we can get a bachelor's degree in physics, that would be even better.
You know, we're making small steps.
Yeah, small miracles at a time.
Baby steps, exactly.
It's like nuclear fission. Oh.
Do you have any tale of woe or otherwise from teaching this week, Rob, that would be great to share with our listeners?
Monday was an exam. They got it back today.
Okay.
I heard one student say, like, oh, I might actually need to learn something in this class after seeing their grades. So.
All that tuition money? Oh.
So, but you know, that's kind of 6 weeks in and we're there. So that's a good sign.
Okay.
But, I don't know. Spring training starts tomorrow. So even though it's snowing out, spring is here.
Spring is here. Uh-oh. It's somewhere.
Another Tiger fan?
Yep. Another Tigers fan.
Hey, have you seen the new jerseys?
The new jerseys are amazing.
I kind of like them. I do like them.
Navy or the orange?
I do like both. Orange, I think I like both.
I was just like, New Jersey's like the state, there's plural. And I was like, is there a team called the New Jerseys? I don't, that just went right over my head. Like,
that
the
is
New Jerseys.
So true. Rob is a sneaky Tigers fan sometime, though. He lives within literal spitting distance of Comerica Park and just so happens to buy standing room only tickets when it fancies him. And I'm like, I'm sort of crying right now. That would be so cool.
Well, that's nice. You just decide when you want to go and walk over.
So don't you have season tickets?
Partial season tickets. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, they must be horrifically expensive. So
I mean, every time they do a little better, arguably within one run of making the ALCS last year, they do go up quite a bit.
I gave Matt a lot of money last week.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Comerica Park is such a great park.
It's fun.
It's a great place to see a baseball game.
And when you retire in 30 years, you can have an apartment across the street, too.
And when I retire in 3 years?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's when you become a docent there. That's
100%. My uncle did that and had the time of his life.
Oh, yeah. Just wipe down the seats, all the peanut shells you can pick up.
No, I'm not even joking. He convinced me pretty early on because he was doing it after he retired in the first big run when we had Justin Verlander pitching. And he may or may not have had to be in charge of taking Kate Upton to her box.
Oh. Kate who?
So Mrs. Justin Verlander. I'm like, I could be convinced.
Oh, they got married?
Job.
I mean, I knew they dated
they have
for
several
a
kids.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, wow. Cool.
So we'll see her around Comerica Park this summer again. Last but most certainly not least, Professor Beth Oljars here from the Department of Philosophy. How's logic going?
Logic is going good. I've already told them you could tell your friends symbolic logic is fun, and a bunch of them are like, oh yeah, we're on it. And I'm like, you science students like symbolic logic because it's not gray.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, there are right and wrong answers, which I think is attractive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although I did it, speaking of what Rob said, I had a student once who, he was taking intro from me and his advisor was in history and he had to pick either a philosophy or religious studies course as an elective, right? Which we still... And the student said, not philosophy. They make you think.
It's an epidemic.
We wouldn't want to be doing too much of that, would we?
Oh, my.
It's only school.
Exactly.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you receive a brand new edition of the ATP coffee mug and an autographed photograph of the professors. If you don't stump the panel, we'll just send you the autographed photograph.
Or a cup of cheese.
You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Professors, a little communique here. From Wikipedia, the answer to the question that you all raised on a recent show about the fact that Shaquille O'Neal has a doctorate. O'Neal dropped out of LSU for the NBA after 3 years. Oh man, he was that close. However, he promised his mother he would eventually return and complete his bachelor's. He fulfilled that promise in 2000, getting a BA in general studies from LSU. minor political science. In 2005, he learned an online MBA through University of Phoenix, like everybody else did at that time, right? O'Neill began work on an educational doctorate at Barry University. His doctoral capstone was The Duality of Humor and Aggression in Leadership Styles. He received an Ed.D. from Barry in 2012. He told a reporter that he planned to further his education by possibly attending law school in the future. Additionally, he studied cinema and directing with the New York Film Academy's Filmmaking Conservatory. Dave froze on that one.
Wow. He what?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, right. That's like getting a master's in pick and roll. I mean, come on. Really?
We could raise questions about the D-Ed, but...
Sure.
I just remember him calling himself the Big Aristotle.
He
and
did.
He was carrying around a copy of the Nicomachean Ethics for a while, and I'm like... Okay,
sure.
Your heart's in the right place. Maybe you've actually read some of it, and yep. Good for you.
I get the film studies because you know, all the god-awful movies he's been in. So, I mean, I get it. So,
yeah, my perspective is when he did the that really spicy corn chip challenge, he was just visibly sweat. It was just pouring down his very bald head. When he's
makeup
on the
couldn't
video.
Account for
check
it.
Check so. It out on YouTube. It's pretty entertaining.
Now he just does icy hot ads.
And, no, he does a bunch of
ads. He does all kinds of ads.
He does.
General Insurance.
Oh, right.
I think he's
an
owner in many businesses.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a very smart businessman. Mm-hmm. Yep. In addition to all the
he has
other.
An MBA.
There That's you right. go. Worked out.
Dear professors, here are 20 more questions all across the spectrum, plus a bonus question, Professor Oljar, at the end.
You're targeted. Targeted.
Yeah. It's our good friend, Rachel Ralston, sent us these questions. She wrote, without an exclamation point, please enjoy. So it's a directive. I mean, seriously.
Jawohl.
It's a command.
Who is the largest employer within the boundaries? Everybody looks at the map. Within the boundaries of the city of Las Vegas, who's the largest employer?
The Nevada Gaming Commission.
I mean, that's a good
guess.
I would
say, but is it some food service company?
It's not a food service company.
Is it one of the casinos?
It's one of the casinos.
Okay.
MGM.
MGM is the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
You better all be sitting down. Yep. 74,500 employees for the city alone.
Wow.
So just a little larger than here.
I can get it.
Just a little larger than Detroit Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. They're open 24/7.
That is true.
The
hotel, food.
The hotel, the food, maintenance, security.
The casino
so
itself.
So if we had 74,000 people, I wouldn't have to do assessment. Could we
Maybe.
Get to that conclusion?
Can we come to that logical conclusion?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
See? Yeah.
Where is America's friendliest airport, professors?
Mm. Portland, Oregon.
It's not what it says. This is a branding thing.
Okay.
It's not Newark.
Airport, yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
So, is it a little small one, one of those little niche,
bigger? Like Bishop?
I don't know how big it is, but it's. I would say it's a major airport for that state.
Is it Hawaii?
In Hawaii? We're really friendly here.
It's in the Southwest.
Southwest.
I'm sure that Jim Tubbs is passing through it.
Phoenix?
It's Phoenix is what it says here. The Sky Harbor is what it's called. America's friendliest airport.
Sky Harbor?
What? They call it Sky Harbor. Yeah.
Harbor.
I don't make the rules.
The Phoenix airport was like any other airport, but okay.
Okay.
All right.
Not as cool as the Detroit airport where people can drive through the wall of it at any given
moment.
Drive
through the wall, we have the music tunnel.
So
the Motown tunnel.
I feel so sorry for that man who...
I do. Yeah.
Must have been having quite an issue deciding to drive.
No, the St. Brown jersey.
Not that he, you know, did any damage really to the McNamara Terminal.
That's right. What are the three largest cities in the state of Idaho by population? I mean, I'd say if you get even one of them,
Boise.
Boise?
Boise is number one.
Moscow?
What was that?
Moscow?
Moscow's not on the list here.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Second one starts with an M. The third one starts with an N.
You said Moscow. Magic Valley? That's an area, not a city.
Not Nampa.
Nampa is actually number three. Yeah, that's right.
My sister's living there now. That is some insider info.
She moved
info.
From Seattle to...
To Nampa.
Why would you do that?
Yep.
She has really, for one thing, really bad seasonal affective disorder.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she's also a libertarian.
Seattle was not it.
Yeah.
Yep, got it. The second place one was Meridian, and I just want to throw this out there. Right. Boise.
Is that what you were thinking, Dan?
Boise has 237,000 residents, so Southfield, Michigan, just putting it out there. Meridian has 139,000 and Nampa has 117,000. So still pretty big, you know, in the end. What famous actress, character actress, played Larry Mondello's mother on Leave It to Beaver, a gossip columnist in the Gene Kelly movie Singin' in the Rain, Batman's Aunt Harriet, and was a model for one of the fairies in the Disney animated Cinderella film?
Wow. Madge Blake.
Madge Blake. I knew that you would know
the Batman thing. That's all. The Batman.
Yep, Madge Blake.
That is a true mastery of trivia there.
That's stupidity on, another level. That's
so when they say Batman, they mean the TV show.
Yes, the TV show.
Yeah, got it.
Because they had to have Aunt Harriet there. Mm-hmm. That's all. Had to.
If she could, what size sandal would the Statue of Liberty wear?
Oh.
I just, wait, we could probably figure this out mathematically,
like
Dan.
A 16 or 20.
No.
It's a little bit bigger than that.
130.
It's bigger than that.
500.
It's bigger than that.
2,000.
2,000's a little high.
Okay.
1,500.
Still too high.
Wait a minute. Is this a physics question or is this a math question?
Well, I think that if you know that the number corresponds to some width versus length, right, you can like divine it, but I don't know what that ratio is. And she would wear it 879.
Big feet.
I do like that you said divine rather than calculate. Like it's a
right, exactly. Those are two different processes. Yeah.
That's a good point. No, that's a very, very good point.
Is that triple E too while we're at
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I can't even read a question about Statue of Liberty by not thinking about how many political cartoons I've seen for the last 12 months where she's crying or broken into pieces or, you know.
Being dragged somewhere.
Being dragged somewhere.
Just saying, I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Going back to France.
Poor thing.
I don't think the map's going to help us, profs.
We'll look
northern,
anyway.
The northernmost point in Brazil is Monte Cabarai. Is it closer to Canada or Brazil's southernmost point?
Oh, it has to be Canada.
Oh, my God.
I'll go Canada. Just
sure. Yeah, it says Canada.
Spice it up.
Okay, I'm loyal.
I can't make it happen on the map. But
north of the equator.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay. Yeah, Brazil is really, really big. French engineer and chemist Georges Claude invented this in 1910 and demonstrated it at the Paris Motor Show. What was it? It's
an
a great piece of trivia.
Combustion engine?
It has nothing to do with automobiles.
Is it food?
It's not food.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Is it a machine of some kind?
I mean, you could call it a machine. It's kind of static. It doesn't, like, move.
Doesn't move.
Is it something to do with physics, like light bulb?
Neon gas lights?
Yeah, it's actually a neon sign. You said light bulb. Okay. Yeah, neon sign for the first time.
Yay.
I'm like, does it move when they do the thing where the thing like goes into two different panels?
It does involve some chemistry with emission and whatnot. Yes.
Depends on what the thing is.
Emission of light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my. I want to say we've never had this before, but I'm never going to forget it. What do Diane Sawyer, Madonna, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Amy Poehler, and Mitt Romney all have in common? Again, Diane Sawyer.
Dan, your kitchen Madonna, again. It's your kitchen.
FDR, Amy Poehler, and Mitt Romney. Now, they've never been in Dan Maggio's kitchen. I know that already.
It can't be like they have the same birthday.
No. This is something that they did when they were young, and they all did the same thing.
Child acting?
Homecoming queen.
Child acting is a really good guess, but that's not it. It wasn't homecoming queen, but you're closer than not.
Was it like a school award type?
It wasn't an award.
Class president?
Class president. You're getting so close.
Hmm.
They were all the mascot of their schools.
They were a mascot.
Mascot is the closest answer that I've heard, but that's not correct.
They were furries.
They were the top of the pyramid on the cheerleading stand.
I'm giving it to Rob. They were all cheerleaders for their schools. Yeah, all right. Yeah. No, that's it. That's it.
That's really good.
I don't know if I've ever had Madonna and Mitt Romney in the same question.
Like, was he at the top or the bottom?
Here we are.
Mittens was really into having fun then.
Oh, man. So funny. This American-made car had the name P3000, Pegasus, Fiamma, and Sunfire all applied to it. But the eventual name of the car we all knew, which is not made anymore, is what?
The Sunfire was the name was the precursor to...
It's like
to...
a Camaro or something,
ooh,
right?
Oh, so close.
It was a P... What was the P?
P3000, Pegasus,
okay,
Fiamma,
so it's a Pontiac.
Sunfire. It's a Pontiac, yep.
The Fiero?
It was a Fiero. That's right. Yeah, very nice. Fiero. Very, very nice.
I remember they used the number cards.
Wicked reference
there. That's what
there,
I was thinking.
You know?
Yeah, it's wicked.
Since Pluto was discovered in 1930, how many more years before it completes halfway its orbit around the sun from that date?
History of the universe class.
Glad we have a physicist here.
Well, that slide is in a couple weeks, so I haven't thrown it up there yet.
That's awesome. So from 1930, if we had that pinpoint, it would be halfway around the sun in how many more years?
Is it like 2030?
A good educated guess.
How many years?
It's got to be several hundred. Several, right?
It's not several hundred.
Is that high or low?
Is it like 60?
I'm giving it to you. 53 years.
Good job.
It'll be only halfway around the sun. So, wow.
So it takes 120 years to go around the sun.
It could be in our lifetime that we celebrate Pluto's halfway around the sun.
And Goofy and Mickey and all the others.
And all the other ones. No, that's
and it's
right.
Low self-esteem because it's not really a planet anymore.
Got downgraded.
As of 2026,
yes.
Are there more McDonald's or libraries in the great United States?
McDonald's.
It's libraries.
Oh, well, that's good.
That is
17,000 public libraries, and that doesn't count academic, legal, medical, and corporate libraries.
Oh, okay.
There's really only 13,000 McDonald's. So.
That gives me hope. Mm-hmm.
This is
hope.
A form of socialism we actually all really love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Public libraries.
Thank you, Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
What U.S. coin has more side ridges, the quarter or the dime?
The dime. The dime.
I don't think we've ever had this
the dime.
Before.
They're really small.
I like this.
I'll go dime. Yeah.
The quarter is bigger.
Yeah, but the ridges are wider.
Got it.
They're wider and they're like more spaced out. Like you can put like your nail in between.
And it's definitely more than the nickel.
It's so true.
Danielle has obviously gotten up close and personal with some of her pocket change in a way that none of the rest of us have. That's right.
I am very proud to announce that a dime has 118 ridges and a quarter has 119 ridges.
It is one more? Okay, the size difference, that's pretty impressive.
Then I was right. The quarter
Yeah, it's
more.
The quarter by one.
You gotta start counting.
By one. Okay, get going. Get going. I know Dave went
no,
for...
But you can feel those ridges. Like, feel those ridges with your nail.
I
like,
can't help myself, by the way. I swear to God, I'm not a Luddite by any stretch, but I went to a Starbucks recently, which is not something I usually do, and they did not give me my change. They pointed to a sign and they said, "We're not doing that anymore." Because I paid with cash.
What?
I was just like, "Here we go. The signs are up at Westbourne. No more pennies."
Oh, that's funny. Like,
okay, yeah, but everything's coming after it.
Get rid of the pennies. Yeah, they did in Canada.
Hey, we did fine without it.
I know.
Illinois will never get rid of the penny.
Well,
why?
Because
it's their president.
Land of Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Get rid of the pennies.
You seem so disgusted by that.
It's just silly that we can't make an intelligent decision and all get behind it.
Absolutely.
Well, gun control, another good example where you've got like 82% of the population.
That's,
What percentage of the London Underground is underground? Oh, looking at the map. Again.
Ooh, as we look at the map.
Which yeah, won't exactly. help since it's a map of the U.S.
I would say 70%.
It's lower.
Oh, the chew?
68%.
40%.
It's lower. 40 is closer. It's 45% of it is under. It's less than half. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
London above ground.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound as romantic.
Above ground just doesn't come quite as trippingly off the tongue, I think. As
yeah, mind the gap that high.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Conspiracy theory time, professors. How many different fruit flavors are there in a bowl of Kellogg's Fruit Loops?
How many colors are there?
Three?
I don't know. You're the one with kids.
Is it one flavor?
Four. Yellow.
They're all the same, but just different colors?
It is one flavor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what? Just different colors.
Mind blown.
I've never had those, but that sounds
That's
right.
It's just kind of sad. Yep.
You're not missing one.
I don't like cereal. I don't eat cereal, period.
Oh my gosh, how could you not like cereal? It's best.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Oh.
Can't drink milk.
It's probably another one of those generational divides. Yep. I feel like it's a very like Gen Xer like.
My husband loves Demogorgon cereal from Kellogg's.
It tastes like rice Chex.
Tastes like syrup.
Chex are great.
Anything crunchy is yummy.
In what movie do you find a fictional character named Eddie Valiant?
Oh, Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of
the Roger Rabbit. That was Bob Hoskins' character. Yep, that's
Bob
absolutely
Hoskins.
Right.
I love
a cool
that
guy.
Movie. So.
Miss that guy.
Absolutely. What are the two official sports of the state of Maryland?
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse is one of them,
absolutely.
And
polo?
Polo, not polo.
Quidditch?
Can you think more Sailing? Ancient.
What?
More ancient?
I don't know what else to say because lacrosse is pretty ancient.
Is that thing with like jousting? Like.
It is. It's jousting.
It's jousting. Oh.
They adopted that in 1962.
That's hilarious.
The official team sport is lacrosse, but they waited till 2004 to adopt that. I don't make the rules, folks. I just
like
read
on
the
a horse.
Questions.
On a horse.
You know, people die when they do that, right?
Yeah. A lot of people die.
It's a risk, Marylanders. Oh, what are they, Marylanders?
I don't know what you're saying.
Sure.
It's a risk.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah. No, but I spent time there.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. What do we got here? That was pretty wild. What came first? Doctors inventing surgery or anesthesia? I think you know this.
Surgery.
Surgery.
Surgery by a long 100%. Shot. By hundreds of years.
Just saw it off.
Civil War alone. Yep.
Civil War alone.
Although yep, I right. noticed you're wearing your not that kind of doctor mm-hmm. shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm I have reminded MDs on occasion that, you know, people were doctors in my sense. While you were still Theodoric of York, medieval barber. So let's just not get too snobby.
I can't let it go by without telling one of my favorite jokes of all time. Oh, there's someone who's, you know, deathly ill on the plane. Are there any doctors? I'm a doctor, but I'm a mathematician. We need somebody who can stop this person from possibly dying. Minus one. I love that joke.
Wait, is this like a Leslie Nielsen bit here?
I mean, it's a little bit of a Leslie Nielsen bit. We're going to get to the bonus question now because we can't let the episode end without
okay,
it. Directly
Beth.
To Beth. Is the WKRP in Cincinnati opening theme song considered yacht rock? That's the question.
Wow.
Rob, we had a big set of questions on yacht rock a few weeks ago.
Now we did?
Oh, no, we mentioned yacht rock.
Oh,
I'm
right.
sorry. No. You're like, wait, I can't
miss
those.
I'm hearing this.
Do we need to cue up the song?
I would say yes.
I think it sort of is. It's sort yeah. of.
Is there an answer?
No.
Oh.
This is like, we need to go right to the source here because Beth was very emphatic about yacht rock.
If you ever wondered whatever became of me.
Do we need
I'm
take a vote?
I'm living on the air in Cincinnati.
Okay, how would it sound?
Embarrassing myself
okay,
now.
How would it sound if Michael McDonald sang it?
Exactly.
Much better.
Of course, but so.
And you would know immediately.
If you go to the Yacht Rock entry on Wikipedia, it's very eye-opening. There are many different things that are considered Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
Many different things.
Yeah.
But I still love the term. I think that it's just cool.
Well, and it was it was initially sort of a joke, right? Kind
right.
of an insult.
Exactly.
Right?
But still fun.
Own it. That's all.
Own it. Exactly. Yeah.
It's,
like everything
it's
else.
It's some
in
of
life.
The greatest music ever, in my opinion.
That's right.
I know lots of people don't agree with me.
Those were some really great questions, Rachel. You did a really great job of sending us stuff. Please continue to send us more. I think Rachel's from Norwalk, Iowa. I always remember that somehow. She sent us questions over many, many years, but I'm afraid, professors, the time has come to say goodbye, Danielle.
Adios.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Beth.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.